Welcome back, folks. One thing that's kind of hard to deal with when it comes to all of these problems all cropping up all around the world, it almost feels easier to expect somebody else to do it, right? Like right now, we talked about it a little bit last week, but Japan has, for completely inexplicable reasons, decided to, for the first time in their entire history, open up their island to mass resettlement of, in this case, Muslims, of all things. And there is a perfect one-to-one ratio. I mean, the two lines are identical if you map the number of mosques in Japan to the number of Shinto shrines being burned. It is literally directly aligned, like really to a almost comical degree. And again, if you get into the history of Japan, it's crazy. Like literally God has intervened multiple times to make sure that Japan was not taken over. The story of Genghis Khan and the Mongols, two times they tried to invade Japan. I think it was two times. And both times, they were wiped out by, like, tornadoes in the ocean. Two times. The Mongols. They took everywhere over. Two times they try to get into Japan, and they get completely wrecked. Although, I think the second time, the samurai were prepared and fought them. But regardless, it's like, you're telling me that you guys have fought to and did it successfully. I mean, they were a locked down, totally set apart landmass forever. And then all of a sudden, they get this prime minister that is a MAGA fanatic. She comes to America. She has a dinner with Alex Karp and Miriam Adelson. And suddenly Japan decides to open up its borders to Muslims. And they start burning Shinto shrines. Then you have another phenomenon that you see elsewhere other than Japan, but here in America, where Japanese newspapers are withholding the identity of the people who destroyed the shrine. So there'll be an article saying copper plates were stolen from this shrine. They don't say stolen by Pakistani gangs and sent back home. So the media is covering up who's doing the damage. But even so, they're trying to build a mosque just outside of Tokyo right now. And there was a giant protest to stop the building of the mosque. And you see, just like you see in every Western country, phalanxes of police, in this case, you know, the Japanese police, lining up to fight their own people to force the implantation of a mosque. And so again, maybe it's easy for me to offload this onto the Japanese. Yeah, a Japanese cemetery, Hokkaido, was recently desecrated with over 58 gravestones toppled. While the perpetrators are currently unknown, many Japanese online have pointed to the significant rise in Pakistanis in Hokkaido as the potential cause of the desecration. Oh, you don't say. No, you don't say. Again, just go to Japan for like 3 hours. You'll be like, these people, what? Leave these people alone. You need to leave them alone. But you're not going to be left alone. So the Japanese need to fight. Like, actually fight. Like, the thing to understand, the thing to realize is that they're going to do whatever they can do. I'll show you more videos on the other side of what's happening in the Netherlands, just like it's happening in the UK, just like it's happening in Ireland. You have the Dutch police brutalizing any civilian that merely states their opposition to the full-fledged replacement of native Dutch with hostile foreigners. And so at a certain point, you have to realize, like, they don't care. They don't care about your protests. They don't care about your votes. They're going to do what they can. They're going to do what you let them do. And if you don't want Muslims taking over Japan, there's one way you stop them. You make them scared to come, and you make your government scared to bring them. That's it. That's the only answer.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I push it on you. You are insane if you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our Methylene Red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that, found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the attack continues. The attack against civilization itself, as simultaneously all over the world, in exclusively white countries, the governments of those countries have decided to use a combination of propaganda, of forced, compelled speech and censorship to indoctrinate people into accepting their own demise, while simultaneously not needing you to accept anything, because if you oppose them, they will stomp your face into the dirt and do it anyway. That's the message they're sending. It's long past time that we take them at their word and take them seriously and understand that anything else they're saying is a lie. Anything else. Britain might be the best example to look at. And the absurdity, the insanity, and the... there aren't even words for it. In 2016, they voted for Brexit. And they voted for Brexit almost exclusively because of the issue of immigration. Sure, there were some concerns about fishing rights in the north and, you know, economic trade here or there. But the vast majority of people who voted in that plebiscite, in that referendum, were voting for immigration reform. They were voting to exit the EU and therefore exit the requirement to be part of the free travel of the EU that allows people to come over to England. England, I remind you, should have exactly zero refugees, zero asylum seekers. I mean, again, just like think about how absurd all of this is. In order to be a refugee or an asylum seeker with legal, legitimate, you know, position as a asylum seeker, you are required to seek protection in the first safe country you arrive to. Geographically, England should have zero asylum seekers, zero refugees. You cannot get to England from anywhere else in the world without passing through, like, unless they're refugees from France, the Netherlands, Iceland, or Ireland, UK is not the closest safe land. So there should be zero. There should be zero of these people. But they welcome them in by the millions. They welcome them in to such a degree that not only are entire swaths of England now completely dominated and taken over by them, I believe it is the Bradford City Council that just published their portraits. There's not a single white British person in the government of this township. They've been completely replaced. They have been utterly boxed out. You can imagine the rainbow coalition of diversity. It does not exist, and it has never existed. People like to think that, well, we'll welcome in a million Indians and we'll welcome in a million Pakistanis. And then our town council will be, you know, four British people and three Pakistanis and a Black Caribbean and a Chinese expat. And no. What you get is all Pakistani Muslims. That's it. You get no white people, no Christians, no Hindus, no Jews. You get monolith. You get the opposite of diversity. You get an invasion and a usurpation and a conquering duh. So that happens. And again, it happens to such a degree that not only are the populations that are brought over big enough to actually carry out like sustained coordinated rape gang activity, but it's then covered up by the authorities that understand the prime directive is get Pakistanis in, cover up anything that would work against that mission. So in 2016, they fight like hell. They fight tooth and nail. They launch this long shot, ridiculous at the time, seeming demand with Nigel Farage in the EU. You remember when Brexit won, what was his famous line? Who's laughing now? Or you're not laughing now, right? Because when he first said, I want Britain to exit the EU, he was laughed at. He was mocked. It'll never happen, they said. Nobody wants it. So shut up. He fights for a decade to get this thing to actually have a vote. They spend the whole campaign in the lead up, you know, tearing British society apart on this question. You know, it was this the biggest political movement ever in the UK. Brexit wins against all odds. And then nothing happens. Nothing. I mean, can you point to me where it was all about immigration? And the people writing articles at the time said over and over, because their main argument against it was like, if you vote for Brexit, it's because you're racist. You're a racist Brexiteer. This is all about race. This is all about immigration. Of course it was. And the majority of the British voted for less immigration, just like in every European country ever, every time they've ever held a vote about immigration. The result has been they want less immigration. They want a restriction of immigration, a reduction of people coming in, and an expulsion of people already there every single time. And they never get it. They never have. They never will. It's not going to happen. That's not the way things work. I think it may have been Way of the World or no, it was Morgoth's Reviews. Morgoth's Reviews on X has a classic tweet that's like, there's something so sick about the way that we are all frantically trying to vote our way out of a system that we did not vote ourselves into. Isn't that absurd? In fact, it's because it's the opposite. Not only do we not vote ourselves into this problem, we voted to not have this problem. They did the problem anyway, and now we're thinking a vote is going to fix it? That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. That's obviously not the system you live in. So like I said, maybe it's easier for me as an American to have a view of like Ireland. Like, am I expecting too much? Because my vision of Ireland is like car bombs in the 90s, right? I mean, wasn't that you guys? Wasn't it like fighting imperial takeovers for 100 years? Was it like we're going to do car bombs and petrol bombs and arm our young women and we're not letting this island be taken? Like, wasn't that you guys? Like, am I expecting too much for you to carry over that just a modicum, just maybe a percentage of that same attitude towards the actual deliberate genocide of your people and full-fledged takeover of your entire island? Have I put too much hope in this concept? Is it because, like, I gotta admit, I'm sort of don't have a lot of hope for America. I really don't have a lot of hope for America. I mean, you got, you know, things like this. Woman indicted for attempted arson at Texas Republican Party headquarters left note saying FJDJTFICE. Like, when I think of America, I think of people like this everywhere. And it's kind of like, what are we even supposed to do at this point when it's our own countrymen who are just destroying everything as quickly as they can and getting away with it for the most point and being funded for a large part as well. And so I just have to look to Japan and be like, but you guys have kept your, you know, ethno-nationalist character. You guys have kept your homogeneity, right? You have kept your purity in this chaos. You're going to give it up now? You're going to give it up now because your prime minister agreed to let Miriam Adelson and Alex Karp drop 500,000 Bangladeshis into your neighborhoods? Why? And am I expecting too much? Where is the spirit to stop this before it happens? You know, it's like, here I am in multicultural hell, in diversity hell, screaming to the people on the other side of the wall, like, stop it while you can. It's just starting now. You can still stop it. You can still stand up. You can still extricate yourself from this. Don't fall for it. Don't let them get a foothold. You have to stop them. You have to physically stop them. They have to be afraid to come to your country. And the government has to be afraid to bring them. That's the only answer. Nothing else works, folks. What other option do you have? You can vote. They ignore it. You can protest. They beat you with sticks. They are telling you the lesson is being ignored, but they're trying to teach you it. You have to fight them. And here we have to fight them too. It's just, at a certain point in America, it's like, well, you know, we got too many traitors. We are almost at this point, like, too far gone. And of course, this is the plan, right? This is the reason why. It's kind of hard to, you know, expect your police force to stand up against the native born if the police force aren't even native born. You have a police force full of Muslim people. They'll be happy to go crush the natives, kick their teeth in for daring to protest against the new importation of hundreds of middle-aged men from God knows where in the world. And as far gone as Europe seems already be, as America already is, they are ramping up again. They are ramping up for another major push for immigration, just like they did in 2015 under Angela Merkel. They're doing it again. And in this case, it's Spain leading the charge. And once again, the false dichotomy that we endlessly find ourselves in is that either you can be a slave to Israel and the wider, you know, Jewish diaspora, or you can be against Israel, against the genocide, in favor of, you know, the Palestinian people, but you also have to actively destroy your own country and your own people. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would even have to make this argument. Like, is it like, what even compels people to their stances? Like, what compels a leftist to be against what's happening in Palestine? Is it really that they think it's white supremacy? Is that really it? Do they really think it's like an expression of European colonialism and they're against European colonialism? You're telling me if the Israelis were doing everything that they're doing now, committing all the same atrocities, all the same everything, but they were like, instead of being Israelis, they were the real Israelis. They were the black Israelites, the black Hebrew Israelites, whatever they're called. If it was a bunch of like dudes from Ghana doing all of this, would they not care then? I have to think they actually would. They actually wouldn't. Like, they only care about Palestine because they think it's this racial division. Yeah, Pedro Sanchez. Is Spain's anti-Israel prime minister on the wrong side of history? So he's anti-Israel. He stands up against them. And then he turns around and goes, by the way, I'm opening up our border and I'm going to give citizenship to 500,000 people. And by the way, we don't have a way to guarantee if you've already gotten citizenship or haven't, or how to count them. So now you just have incentivized literally millions of Africans to come to Spain, demand citizenship, and then, you know, create one out of fraud if they don't get it officially. And these stories are being spread. So I don't get it, man. I really don't. I really, really, really don't get it. Because there's nothing to get, because it doesn't make any sense. Because it has to be the result of deliberate and concerted and contradictory propaganda. Yeah. Yeah, if this was Benjamin Netanyahu, the left wouldn't have crap to say. They'd call you a racist for disagreeing with it. Which is what I mean. It's like, can people not recognize this? What? I don't know, man. It's so weird. It really is. If it was black people going, oh, if you criticized the genocide we're carrying out, that means you're a racist. Right-wingers across the board would say, shut up. We know what you're really doing. This has nothing to do with race. I'm not racist, you idiot. I'm against you being a terrible person and killing people, obviously. Oh, but somehow when the Jews do exactly the same thing, the Republicans just fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Something's not adding up here. Something's not adding up. And the more you look around, the more you realize, like, it is this Israeli control of America that makes everybody insane. Because it makes people insane. It forces you to act insane. Look at Ted Cruz and all these people. I mean, Randy Fine, Lindsey Graham. It's like their positions don't make any sense on the face of it. The dichotomy that's built in America doesn't make any sense on the face of it. Because what should be happening is all of those left-winger socialist dudes on universities that are standing up against the genocide in Palestine, in a normal world, those people would be able to recognize and understand that their entire belief system is dependent on and hinges on and is born out of classic American culture. White Christian men created the worldview that they are fighting for. But they don't recognize it. They can't acknowledge it. They instead conflate the brutal genocidal nature of Israel with the crap lies they've heard about the likes of George Washington and others from the very people that are like running Israel, like the Maxwells, Ghislaine's dad, who wrote all the textbooks here in America. And this is like very real. I mean, I always think about there's that famous history book. If the crew can remember what it's called, that it's the one that basically came out and said that Columbus was genocidal and killed everybody, and the people's history of the United States. Guys, look up the people's history. Who was the author? Because Howard Zinn is like the quintessential person that you follow his sort of trajectory in his life and you start to understand like how we got to the situation that we're in. And I wonder if Matt Walsh is going to touch on this, because Matt Walsh is creating a new series where he's talking about the civil rights movement and MLK and the truth about MLK and the truth about people funding him and who wrote his speeches. He was funded. The people who wrote his speeches were all like hardcore Jewish activists. And they brag about it. And again, this is one of these weird things where if you go to the ADL or the SPLC, they will have posts and articles and museum exhibits bragging about the way that Jews were instrumental in the civil rights movement. And they were the power behind MLK and they celebrate. And it's wonderful if instead you're like, wait, so the Jews were behind the civil rights movement? They go, well, how dare you? How dare you say such a thing? That is a blood libel and an anti-Semitic smear. Watch Howard Zinn. Go read the book responding to Howard Zinn's book. Howard Zinn's book is The People's History. And a woman wrote a rebuttal to it and explains how the entire book, The People's History of the United States, was a like deliberate act of subversion by Howard Zinn, who could have only written it by deliberately taking portions of like Columbus's diary out of context. Like it's just nothing more or less than a literal blood libel. That he goes in, he looks at American history, and he decides to present it dishonestly, to lie about it in order to progress the idea that white people are bad, white supremacy is the worst thing in the world, America was born from an act of genocide. None of this is true, but almost all of it gets its start with the people's history of the United States. Coincidentally, Howard Zinn lived right next door to Matt Damon when he grew up, which is why you have in Good Will Hunting him referencing the people's history to Howard Zinn and the ideas of Howard Zinn sort of permeating throughout the leftist activism and the liberal mindset informing Matt Damon's movies, especially his early work. But obviously this is pushed and now it's taught as absolute fact. Now the You know, you grow up, you see the TV special saying it, you read the books that say it, your textbooks say it, your teacher says it, and it's all fake and it's all wrong and it's all a lie. But that's not even the part I'm talking about. Howard Zinn, who grows up in America, born in America, the first job that he has out of college is to go teach in a finishing school in like Louisiana, somewhere deep down south, Mississippi or Louisiana. It was a black women's finishing school. And at the time, it had the reputation of being the finishing school of like royalty. And it was all black female student body. And but they were, no, it was like it, you can tell a woman from this school. I don't know if the crew can find the school name. But they had like a, you know, it was like she's a Harvard girl. You know, it had this name. It was like, you know, they sit up straight. Their backs are straight as rulers. They you know, their etiquette is perfect and refined. It was a finishing school. And you came out of that school as like a straight up, you know, royal. You could eat with the queen and not hesitate for a second which spoon to use and how to drink. And that was the type of finishing school that he started working at. He goes there and like single-handedly destroys that school and gets a bunch of the students arrested by like holding civil rights rallies and then getting all the students to come. And then he leaves right as the cops show up and the cops arrest all the students. And then they like try to fire him because he's just clearly just comes into this nice conservative, you know, community and just starts propagandizing all the children. No, you're all oppressed. You all have to stand up. You all have to come be a revolutionary with me. And they Spelman. Right. Spelman College. Look up, you know, Howard Zinn at Spelman College. So he like creates the, you know, they were fine. They were angry. There wasn't this, you know, festering sense of like, oh, we're being oppressed. It was a finishing school. It was the nicest finishing school. They were proud of the people that they would turn out. We're just as classy, just as capable, just as refined as any white finishing school. Howard Zinn comes in. He was in Atlanta, Georgia, gets all these kids to become revolutionaries, to reject, you know, the things they're being taught, go hold these protests and sit-ins, get arrested and beaten by the cops. He jets out, never pays a price for it, shows up at school the next day. They're like, you know, they want to fire him. So then he launches a lawsuit to stop them from firing him. So just to get the guy off the back, they have to like settle with him. It's just, he's just this like engine of poison, of like civilizational poison. And it's just like, that's what he does. That's what he's done his whole life. And his ideas, his ridiculous, psychotic, anti-white blood libel has now been made the foundational understanding of America for kids coming up these days. And he is a relentless monster, an endless font of subversion and chaos and misery and lawsuits and like news articles where he's lying about everything that's happening. And he's not just destroying, you know, white America in our history. He's destroying, you know, black America and radicalizing the students and tearing down their institutions. And it's just like, do we not recognize an enemy when we can see one? Can we not recognize that this guy is not some good-hearted American that just wants everybody to be respected and he's concerned about some things in our past? No, he is a relentless liar and tearer down of real history because he is a Jewish supremacist racist who uses chaos as a weapon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been running a series of flash sales for only 2 days. And the last sale ended last night, Saturday night, like I said. I'm announcing this live on air Sunday night, the 10th of May, 2026. So you have 2 days through Monday into Tuesday to get a massive buy one, get one free deal at our sponsor that owns the Alex Jones Network. Keep us on air, thealexjonesstore.com. And these products really work. Obviously, I want to be the most accurate news. I want our products to be the best. So you take them and you love them and you get blown away. Now, let me tell you about Shilajit. You can go research it. Even top scientists don't know how it happens. It's millions of years old. It's mainly in the Himalayas and a few other mountains, like the Carpathian Mountains and others. When they have a big earthquake, it will be revealed, and it's like this black tar inside the rocks. And it's full of all these insane peptides that just do amazing things for men and women and stamina and energy and libido and everything else. We have private labeled at thealexjonesstore.com the top rated brand in the United States over a year ago. So when you get our Shilajit, you are getting the top-rated brand, private label by us, at a price a little bit lower than it's sold at Whole Foods and in stores around the country. This is, we don't reinvent the wheel. Most of our products are just a private label of whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the best. That's what we go out, we get, we private label it. You get it from us, it funds the operation. So, if you've never taken our shield, Jesus Mountain last year, it's got 5-star ratings, 90%+ reorder rate, galaxyshieldstore.com. Buy one Shilajit naturally flavored gummies, pineapple, get one Shilajit gummies bottle free. It's a huge bottle full of these delicious gummies. Just take one a day. It's ultra concentrated, the highest quality Shilajit, and a bunch of other super nutrients as well. Also, ultimate creatine. Not all creatine is created equal. Everybody knows it's great for muscles. It's even better for the brain. Look up creatine and Alzheimer's or brain boosting. We have the very best creatine, the very best type. Read the type it is. Look it up. We're not making that up. We want to sell you what really works. You can get Shilajit gummies, the very best, with the best creatine in a 48-hour buy one, get one free sale right now. So either one of those, the Shilajit gummies, the ultimate creatine, you have 48 hours as of Sunday night. It ends May 12th. You have 2 days to take advantage of this right now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Now, there's another big sale that ends in a couple days. 3 different bundles. The Modern World Survival Stack. Normally $147, now $89. Shilajit Capsules, Atomic Defense, Immune Booster. It's good for your whole body. The Irish Sea Moss Capsules for a massive discount. That is the Modern World Survival Stack. We have the Gut Detox Defense Stack, Zeolite Detox, highest quality private label of zeolite that detoxifies spike protein, heavy metals, draws it out. So important, an incredible zeolite detox defense with the T3, best iodine on the market, the most pure on the atomic chart. One of the main things the enemy does is make sure there's not good iodine in the food supply. We have the very best, or most of the iodine that's out there is bound to another element, so you don't absorb it. This is pure iodine. It's incredible. T3 Trifecta Iodine. And bovine colostrum, a private label, the highest quality bovine colostrum out there. Women already know about this. It's the main thing women buy from us. But it's your skin, your hair, your eyes, everything. The first 2 weeks of any mammal's milk is just super powered. That is what this is, concentrated bovine colostrum. Normally $148, now $99. And some other big sales are about to end as well. Take advantage of them now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. Be the reason we stay on the air at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Want to thank you all for your support. Be a VIP. Get $40 to spend free in the store now as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks, to War Room Live. This is one of those stories. I got so much more to cover. I got so much more to cover in the second half of this show. Talk about Thomas Massie, where that's going. The data centers are just really reaching intolerable and levels beyond description, really. Like, it's... The data centers especially are a great chance to sort of examine the reality of power in America and the knowledge that anything you try to do will be met with red tape. Anything you try to do, no matter how good or beneficial or beneficent or giving, you're going to run into roadblock after roadblock. And then there's the flip side, which isn't just that the bad guys get to do whatever they want. They get to do whatever they want to any degree, at any scale, and they get to force you to pay for it, and they get to use eminent domain to buy your house out from under you. And the, I mean, it's just, it's not just, well, they get subsidies. It's they put the cost of the investment onto you, and then they reap the rewards. You take the risk, they reap the rewards over and over and over again. So I want to get into that. Talk about that a lot. And honestly, again, it's the real issues we have to concern ourselves with that are actually real and actually, you know, require something to be done about it are so monumental. And then you read mainstream media or anything else, and it's like they have everybody in a state of insanity and a state of inversion. And it's almost too big of a scale to even talk about. Like, this is one of the stories that I was mentioning. I didn't grab this video to be an example of this, but I said earlier that you'll see video after video, story after story of just white people being targeted for their race and murdered, being scammed, you know, by ethnic, you know, tribal gangs and networks of Indians or Somalis or whoever it is working together to scam the system that only white people pay into time again. And then you go to the mainstream media and you read headlines about some minor, debatably racist event that it's like, oh my God, all attention on this, tornado sirens, you know, red alert. We got a white person that doesn't sufficiently hate themselves. This has to be top story, national, if not international news. Meanwhile, oh, the systematic rape of white women in UK. We don't really talk about that. We're going to keep that on the down low. So New York Times today, like, there are so many stories we've covered in even just the last week or two, where it's like, since COVID, 90% of the jobs developed since COVID have gone to foreigners. That's just foreigners. That's just place of birth. Then you add on top of that the celebration that they had, where they said, you know, after Black Lives Matter, corporate America said they'd hire more people of color, and they did. And for the last 10 years, almost 100% of the new executives at companies are not white males, not because they're more qualified, but because white males are deliberately discriminated against. That has downstream effects that are obvious and horrifying and undeniable. Story after story after story of white people and Americans both being deliberately excluded from companies, being fired in favor of hiring H-1Bs. Every day there's a new story. Every week there's like a cacophony of these things. Then you go to New York Times. What are they talking about? Who are they advocating for? It's getting unfriendlier. International students race to find jobs. Guys, don't you feel so bad for the Chinese people that aren't getting your job here in America? I mean, this is terrible. We have to do something for them, right? I mean, sure, I could show you example after example after example of Microsoft and Amazon and Disney firing thousands of Americans and immediately hiring foreign employers. But, you know, we really got to think of the foreigners on this one. People are actually opening up the New York Times and sitting there thinking, gosh, we've really got to do something for these international students. They can't get jobs here in America because of those racist white people. It has been 10 years of deliberate and illegal and explicit discrimination against white people and against Americans. And they're still writing articles about how international students aren't being handed a six-figure job right out of college here in America. What are you supposed to do about this? When it's not just they're not covering the plight of white Americans, they're doing the opposite. They're encouraging and whipping up hatred against white Americans when we are the ones being discriminated against. We are the ones who are losing jobs in our country. What the hell? New York Times, May 11th, 2026. Students have been passed over for jobs and interviews because of visa restrictions. Some have a plan B, leaving the United States. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, my gosh. You have to go back to your country where you're a citizen, where you were born and raised, where you speak their language, where you grew up with them, where your family lives. Oh, my gosh. No. No, you're supposed to come here and bring all of them with you. Well, you're not supposed to have your own people with your own companies who can hire you. No, you're supposed to be given an education here, and then we'll give you a job here, and then your whole family can come here. What? Again, this is like, I can't even get mad. That's what I mean. It's like so crazy that, like, yeah, maybe I should be like raging and yelling about this, but it's more just like, is everybody really this stupid? Is everybody really just watching our future be robbed out from under us And they're sitting there going, gosh, I hope the thieves don't break their fingernails. Gosh, I hope it doesn't hurt their back to walk away holding everything we've ever built and owned and my inheritance and my heritage. I hope their back's okay carrying all of that to their own house. It's like, what? Like, wake up. And again, you get the story of the girl shoved in front of a railroad, you know, shoved in front of a subway train, shoved onto the railroad tracks, nearly dies. And she can't even say, hey, yeah, throw that guy in prison. What am I going to do? How am I supposed to convince her? I'm supposed to argue with her? I could shove her in front of a train track. It wouldn't change her mind. So what do we do here? Exactly. And the thing to do is to take your own side and, you know, viciously discriminate against all of these people. New York City woman declined to press charges against subway shover because she didn't want to put another black man in jail. Weeks later, he allegedly killed retired teacher 67 at a station in almost exactly the same way. I would love a follow-up to the young woman. Now that you know he went on to murder somebody else, do you think maybe you should have pressed charges at the end of the day? I doubt she'd say yes. I bet she'd say no, I did the right thing. Because they're divorced from consequence. They I don't know why. They like cannot understand how cause follows effect. These people are crazy. This is what I mean. She's probably happy. She's probably like, oh, he killed a 76-year-old. What race was he? That would probably be the defining thing. If she found out that the black man killed a black man, then she might say, well, you know, they're black. What are you going to do? If a black man killed a white man, he probably deserved it. An old white man, that's the most racist type, I'm pretty sure. Same type of thing here. I have like 1,000 videos, give or take. Like 1,000 videos of the way that... I hope you guys recognize. I hope you guys like feel the same sort of... I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed at the stupidity. I'm speechless at what they're trying to and in many cases successfully pulling off. Because not only is there an obvious threat to our food supply in the form of the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, the lack of fertilizer getting to people, the lack of trade, like so many reasons why the food production in America should be in a state of emergency right now. Simultaneously, you have thousands and thousands of these data centers going up who consume as much energy production and as much fresh water as entire gigantic cities. And the left's not talking about that. Meanwhile, Vox News is writing articles saying the climate crisis and its heat is coming for your groceries. They're actually saying that it's extreme heat that's wiping out the food and that it's climate change caused by you driving a car that's causing this to happen. Again, what are we supposed to do about this? What are we supposed to do when the obvious thing actually happening here is being covered up and in such a blatant and apparent and just undeniable way, we're just being screwed at every possible level. So this is what I mean. It's like they're still pushing climate change. But they're not using climate change to stop the data centers. The data centers are being built by the very people, the very industries that are responsible for the whole concept of climate change, let alone the measures taken to combat climate change. Does the left ever feel like exhausted at the fact that everything they believe is wrong? Everything. They have to realize it at some level, right? I'm just like, can you please tell me that they're just lying? If I just knew these people were all full of crap, it would be so much easier to deal with this. But I know that there are people out there that just genuinely fall for this crap, genuinely believe this crap, and will never wake up from it. Same type of thing. Vox, again, this far leftist rag has this headline. They changed the headline, what it was originally. Falling birth rates don't have to be a crisis. What it says here, birth rates keep falling. We need a plan for older America with fewer kids. Again, I just can't. If you don't understand what's wrong with this, how am I supposed to explain it to you? How am I supposed to explain it to you? The crisis is that we're not having kids. We're not a replacement level. Our population is going down. Yet simultaneously, we're building so many new houses that lakes are going dry, springs are running dry, and cities are like doubling their footprint in the last 10 years. We're at below replacement level, but somehow we have so many new people that we can't build houses fast enough to house them all. It's kind of messed up. If I come to you and I say, you know, I'm having this problem. Say you got a newly married couple and they're like, we're having trouble getting pregnant. Is your answer to say, let me tell you how to get used to that? Let me explain to you how to come to terms with, accept, and in fact, trick yourself into enjoying the fact that you're going to be alone forever. You need to learn to be okay with this. After decades of decline, U.S. fertility rates are now at historic lows. It actually climbs until 2007 and then collapses. And I've seen even more dramatic charts than this. And the question is, what happened in 2007? And the answer is obvious. There's two things. The iPhone and the economic crash of 2008. Birth rate is tied to the economy because people decide whether or not they can have children based on whether or not they can afford children. It's like the article we read. Yeah, there's the even more dramatic one where you can just see it sort of falls off a cliff. That's in the 60s. So that's the introduction of birth control. And there's the very dramatic fall off for 2007. And that top line there, the line that we just brush up against in 2007, that's replacement rate. So we've been below replacement since 1976. We climbed up just to replacement 2007. Then the economy crashed and we've never recovered. So it's directly tied into the economy. And that's why, you know, you've got Vox News basically saying, yeah, birth rate's down, but first of all, it's a good thing that it's down. Plus, we need immigration to bring it back up. Plus, like, you know, it's just, again, what am I supposed to say? These people are anti-human. They're anti-life. They're literally not interested in solving the birth rate crisis. They don't find it a crisis. They think it's a good thing. They want it. Their policies brought it about. And they will only talk about it if they're trying to downplay the threat and make you okay with your race going extinct, which is the inevitable consequence of year over year of being less than replacement level. But we can see from the charts and from just every study ever done that this is a consequence of the economy. It's a consequence of people not having good jobs, people not feeling safe and secure in their positions, not being able to afford a house in the school zone that they want, as well as the greater emphasis on higher education, especially for girls, that intrinsically means you're putting off having a kid for 4 years. And then you're going to want to, I mean, it's just all of these different problems eventually lead to just a literal absolute and total collapse of not just fertility, but just families, you know, being the building block of this country. And it sucks because I totally am black-pilled about this stuff at this point. to the point where like I literally cannot enjoy things like I should be able to. I mean, I just, you know, whatever. I still have fun and just put the stuff out of my mind. But like I'm hanging out, you know, over the weekend, we go camping, went to this, you know, one of these lakes in Central Texas. We're having lunch on the patio, and you look around and you think, how could things be as dire as they say? You look around, the weather was beautiful. There's like a guy playing country music live on the patio. There's like families bringing their boats and docking at the dock and going up to eat in the restaurant. It's all these big families. And I just can't help but be like, it feels like I'm watching the circus while Rome burns. I feel like I'm watching. It's like, yeah, okay. If I was Trump or something, I can see how Trump like looks out over, you know, a bunch of boats in a big Trump parade flotilla and going, man, America's kicking butt. America's kicking butt. You look around at a small town in Texas. It's got a little lake there and it's just nice and cool. And then I'm just like, okay, it's okay now. It's okay. But then I'm just seeing the little squeezes, the little caveats, the little, you know, pressures here and there. And like you see a family come up and it's the dad and the mom and like four kids. And you just think like, all right, one of these kids is probably going to be seduced by some weird propaganda. Probably not going to have kids because they're going to be gay or trans or something ridiculous. The other ones are being constantly bombarded, whether it's from their friends on social media, from their schools they go to, their heads ring filled with falsehoods. They're being lied to about their history. They're being lied to about their people. They're being told to hate themselves. They probably will end up hating themselves. It's like the son is going to probably not be able to go to the best school because of his race. Even if he gets, you know, works his ass off and gets a good degree, he's probably not going to get a good job because the people who run the industries are against him in the first place. And I don't know how to explain it to people. This is the way America is being destroyed. It's not obvious. It's not in your face. It's not, you know, towers burning and bridges collapsing. It's the squeeze. It's just the squeeze of the American people, just the grinding down, just grind after grind after grind. It's not noticeable, each individual grind, but every day, day over day, year over year, decade over decade, we're being ground down into nothingness. And you see the way that they're trying to access all of this, you know, wealth, where they're like, oh, now we can dip into savings accounts to invest that. And, you know, it looks like we can squeeze you a little bit more here, a little bit more there. We're going to have, you know, variable pricing so we can jack up prices if we think you can handle it. Then we have this story from Axios. Americans are spending down their savings. So like you understand, like the prosperity, the brilliance of America that we still are living off of, basically, it's being systematically siphoned up by private equity, by the banks, by the government, by the NGOs that are siphoning it from the government. Lower earning Americans are increasingly strapped for cash. On recent corporate earnings calls, some CEOs warned that their customers are struggling to deal with rising gas prices and higher inflation. That's painful on an individual level, but more broadly could be a sign of a slowing economy, a warning to investors, and a hit to the various companies that sell stuff to people. Given that, I'm like, are you a robot or a human being? What's actually happening here is we're being squeezed. We're being juiced. We're going to be left a desiccated, bankrupt husk at the end of this, because there's nobody fighting to reverse this trend. There's nobody that cares about the middle class. There's nobody that cares about building up the lower class so that it can stand on its own feet and build families, build wealth, build communities. You have the ultra, ultra wealthy that own everything already and are desperately trying to get their hands on everything they don't have already. And then you've got the lower classes who they want just living as perpetual dependents on handouts from the government. Do we not see where this ends? Do we not see why, like, you need to be taking this seriously and treating this like the existential threat that it is, even if it's not fire and brimstone and bullets you are being destroyed. You are being systematically and irrevocably ground down to where generation over generation, not only are you going to be less better off than your parents, your kids are going to be less well off than you. And it's a deliberate process that's occurring to bankrupt the individual so that they don't have the ability to fight for themselves. They don't have extra money to give to political causes. They don't have extra time to dedicate to determining how the world works and figuring out ways to fight for their own interests. And it's just a grinding down. And again, it just, it gives me the feeling of like looking at all these people and just going, I wish I could be happy that you're happy. I wish I could be sit here and go, what am I worrying about? Sun shining, boats running. Yeah, let's just hang out and chill. So I'm just like, you realize every minute you spend just like twiddling your thumbs and watching football and messing around on your boat is another minute that horde upon horde of hostile foreigners is ruthlessly tearing out the foundation of your country. We don't have time to be sitting around enjoying the prosperity of America. The more we enjoy it, the more it goes away. And they're squeezing your savings accounts. They're squeezing your retirement accounts. They're edging up how much everything costs, upping the tax burden just a little bit, and just incremental. Each little piece goes up and up and up and up. And eventually it'll get to the point where not only is your kid less well off than you are, and you're less well off than your grandparents are, but your kid is going to be a despised minority in a country who decides that what his ancestors built belonged to them and that he doesn't deserve it because they made up some lie about a crime his ancestors committed. And then the kid he has is going to start with absolutely zero because they're going to impose some 100% inheritance tax to where any generational wealth you've been able to accrue will be stripped away from you. So everybody starts at zero and stays there except for the people in power who will own it all. Yeah, it sucks.
Sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra brain booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market, but the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run. They're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off. That's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. Thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition T-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, Skull Crusher, Brass Knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Share the live feeds now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.